Good morning. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for my rebuttal.
Would you please identify who you are?
I'm sorry. May it please the court, I'm Amy Gertz, and Mr. Lambrecht and I are Gertz and Lambrecht, and we represent Plaintiff Intila.
Okay.
Plaintiff Intila and Defendant Cook were both employees at Boeing. After their shift, Mr. Cook, the defendant, went out to his car. He didn't scrape the windshield of his car. He drove his car with the windshield obscured and ran into Mr. Intila as he was walking to his car.
So they're both in the parking lot, and it's a Boeing parking lot.
It's not in the parking lot. It's in an avenue of traffic that's just outside the parking lot.
Is that undisputed?
It is undisputed that it wasn't within the bounds of the parking lot, and that was a significant issue at the lower court.
Is there a difference between a parking lot and a parking area?
Well, it's my position that when you're talking about whether the injured employee is going to receive benefits, that it's a significant issue as to whether he or she is in the parking lot or not in the parking lot because of the parking lot exception to Title 51. But the case law...
The statute talks about parking area, doesn't it?
Right. But that's talking about if this case were about Mr. Intila seeking benefits, then that would be the issue. But here we're talking about immunity for Mr. Cook. And the Supreme Court test says that Mr. Cook has to be actively engaged in his work at the direction or in furtherance of his employer. And
so your position is that whether the parking area exception applies is irrelevant for purposes of the position you're taking.
That's correct. But if it
now
was
did you argue that below?
I did argue that. Mr. Lambrecht argued at the lower court, and we did discuss that issue and put those cases in our brief. In large part, the
can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What do we do with the sentence in Olson that says that this was not part of the job site?
Well, I in Olson they found
and they find three things that he's not furthering anything that advances his employer's interests, and that he wasn't connected in any way with the injured person, and that it wasn't the job site. So
right.
There seem to be three elements to the court's analysis. The
right.
Court seems to ignore where the accident happened when it talks about the parking spot not being the job site
right.
when the accident actually happened in a roadway.
Right.
But it seems significant to that court that the job site wasn't implicated. And how do we get around that if we adopt your position?
I don't believe we need to get around it at all. I love the Olson case and cited it extensively in my at the lower court.
I understand you do, but counsel's going to get up and tell us, I anticipate, that there are three elements to what the Olson court found significant. And what's wrong with that argument, that the fact that it wasn't the job site was one of the three elements?
But I agree with the Olson case that this area that we're talking about was not that at the what Olson says is that the material issue is whether the defendant it's all about whether the defendant what his actions were at the time of the accident. And
geography doesn't matter at all in your analysis, but doesn't it seem to in Olson?
In Olson, they mention it. Olson specifically says that I don't have the quote in front of me, but the key issue in determining immunity is not the situs of the accident, but whether the worker seeking immunity was in the course of his employment at the time of the accident. And that's what Olson said in 19...
Here's what Olson said. Unless then the parking area is a job site for the party claiming immunity from suit, we must accept the idea that the legislature intended to exclude accidents occurring in parking areas from the operation of the workers' compensation statutes. That statute, or that sentence, seems to suggest that it's pretty significant to Justice Hale and those joining him that where this happened was not a job site.
And I am saying that this accident happened in a comparable spot that was not a job site. Both Olson and the case at hand took place on the Boeing property at large, but outside the bounds of a specific parking area. In Olson v. Stern, there's actually photographs, and I actually got the old briefing from the archives to see the picture of the accident, which in the description says it was 6 feet off the parking area, and it shows Mr. Olson was driving a work vehicle, and was Mr. Stern pulled out of his parking space and hit him just outside of the parking area. And what the court looked at was what was Mr. Stern doing at that time, and they determined that he was not in the course of his employment and therefore was responsible for his actions.
So in your view, the access road that leads from this parking lot to the public streets is part of the parking area?
I do not agree that it's necessarily part of the parking area.
Part of the parking area, how is it not part of the job site?
I think the bigger question is not whether it was part of the job site. They were on Boeing property. But the bigger issue here is whether the actions of a defendant who gets into his own personal vehicle and runs into someone because he didn't scrape his windshield and drove negligently is more that he took himself out of the course of the employment, and therefore, as to him, it was not a job site because he was not working.
You have your rebuttal time.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Marilee Erickson. I'm here on behalf of respondent Mr. Cook. We're here today to ask the court to affirm Mr. Cook is immune from liability. The Industrial Insurance Act applies to this situation. The undisputed facts establish that this was an accident between co-workers, Mr. Antia and Mr. Cook. It occurred immediately after they left their shift. It occurred on Boeing property. It occurred in a place controlled by Boeing, and it did not occur in a parking area. The statute, RCW 51.
Let me ask you a question. Mr. Cook hits Mr. Attila in the parking space. There is no immunity.
If that were the factual situation, it could be that there was no immunity, because then we get to the next analysis and your questions, Judge Leach, with regard to the three elements in Stern. My reading of Olson versus Stern and the other case law is if an accident occurs between co-employees in a parking area, it does not conclusively determine establish that the IIA applies and that there's not immunity, because
okay,
then there's a next step.
Judgment then. Okay. As I understand your analysis, as Mr. Cook proceeds, once he gets to the access road, he's back on the job site.
Well, he is not in a parking area, and under the statute, he would be in an area controlled by Boeing. So
Is the answer yes, it's part of the job site?
Well, it is part of the job site based on
We've only got 10 minutes, so let's just try and stick to answering the question instead of a speech. He then gets to the sidewalk outside of the access road, and instead he hits Mr. Antilla there. He's no longer on the job site.
If it is a sidewalk off of the Boeing property, I would on your hypothetical, I think it does sound as if it would be off the job site.
He remembers he forgot something in the parking lot he was supposed to give one of his coworkers. He turns around. He's back on the job site?
He's back in the parking area?
No, he's on this access road.
Yes, it fits within the further coming and going under the statute of acting in the course of employment on the employer's property.
He's not going back to the parking lot, though, to get to work. He's going back because there's something there he forgot. Does that matter?
It would matter with regard to what he's doing. We've got the Taylor versus Katie case, which is a case in which it happened in a parking lot, but the court decided that there.
But he's going to the bank in that case.
Right, and they're doing something for their employer. So the point I'm trying to make, Your Honor, is that it depends on the purpose. Once we get to the parking area and we're in a situation where we may be off the job site, then the courts have looked to the analysis of
if
where they were further.
Job site, do we look to purpose as well?
If we don't fit within the confines of the acting in a course of employment, the statute 08-0103 sub 1 that we are relying on in this case.
And are you going to or from work once you get to the parking area, or does your characterization as being in that status end once you get to the excluded area?
I'm not sure I understand the court's question. If you could rephrase
it,
please.
I'll try and explain it rather than rephrase it.
Thank you.
One could take the view that once you get to the parking area, everything you do from there to where you actually perform your services for Boeing is going to work. One could also take the view that once you leave your workstation and get to your car in the parking lot, you have stopped leaving work for purposes of the statute. And everything after that, you're not coming and going from work, you're on your own. That's one way to look at that. And could you respond to that approach?
That is one way of looking at it, and that's not the way that the courts have looked at it over in the case law.
Is there a case that you're aware of that where someone got to the excluded area and then on the way home returned to a job site and the court either found coverage or addressed the immunity question?
I'm not aware of a particular case that has that fact scenario where and there could be one. There's a large body of case law, and they're very fact dependent.
Well, that's why I'm asking you, because I assume you've looked across the country. Did you find one?
I did not look across the country to every single case where I found one. We maintain, Your Honor, that this case is controlled by the statute, undisputedly, because.
Okay, well, you'll agree the statute has been interpreted by our court to not mean the immunity statute what it appears to say on its face, because it does not, by its terms, grant the right to ever sue a co-employee. And in Olson, the Supreme Court carved out some circumstances where the immunity isn't available in a claim against a co-employee.
I would agree with that, Your Honor.
And that's not something the legislature did. It's something our Supreme Court did.
It is. My reading of Olson versus Stern is that the court looked to the question of whether Mr. Stern was in the furtherance of his employee's business because the situs, the location of that accident, was in a parking area. And as this court said in Dillon versus Labor and Industries just recently, that is what we look at, the ordinary meaning of what a parking area is.
Okay, does a parking area definition, I'm not aware of a case that addresses this, include that part of the employer's property used to get from the parking area to the street?
Does a parking area include that? The case law...
It did in Olson.
In Olson, my understanding of the facts in Olson, Your Honor, are, and maybe you have a different interpretation, and I won't be able to address your point satisfactorily, but my understanding, it was in a parking area where vehicles actually parked, and Mr.
My understanding is that the fellow was driving a cart in a two-lane area that was used both to get from the parking spaces to the public road and to deliver materials to Boeing facilities and for workers moving between places on the Boeing property. And the description in Olson seems to say that, and that Mr. Olson had gotten to within 4 or 5 feet of the public road on this two-lane road when he struck the cart, which apparently was in his lane of travel.
And
Do you understand the facts to be that?
Well,
I'll start there.
I would need to go back and that sounds consistent with. I don't have a photographic memory of the facts, but my understanding of the Olson case as referenced especially in our respondent's brief is that it was in a parking area. And once you have a parking area, okay.
And
then
what I'm trying to focus on is what do those words mean? Does that include the roadway?
It does not include the roadway. And I think
how do we know that?
Well, first, in this case, it's undisputed by the parties, and I know this court's not bound by what the parties agree, but that was also a factor that Judge Casey, in ruling on granting Mr. Cook's motion for summary judgment. The parking area, I'm forgetting the name of the case, but there's a situation where the person is being dropped off at work and slips and falls and applies for IIA benefits, and the issue was this is a drive-through area. We don't have, you know, all the detailed facts.
There, so it's not part of the parking area.
Right. So, and in that situation, the court said that would be a situation where it was not in the parking area and therefore you're entitled to your benefits. The person was being dropped off to go to work.
In interpreting the scope of the immunity, should we look to the purpose of the statute and the purpose of the immunity?
I don't think the court, well, obviously the court should look at the purpose of the statutes, but I don't think we need, the court needs to look at grand public policy considerations.
If we're to construe the statute broadly in favor of the injured worker, would that include construing it broadly to provide the injured worker with access to third-party resources?
I don't believe the court needs to do that, and I'm not aware of any authority that states that. That
should we have that in mind in deciding what the court meant in Olson?
I don't believe the court needs to reach the broad interpretation, whether it's the injured worker or the co-employee. Under the case law in Washington, under the statutes, under this court's holding of the site of the accident being not in a parking area, that we fit squarely within the statute in this case. And for those reasons, we would ask that the court affirm, because it is undisputed that this is an accident that occurred between co-employees, not in a parking area. They were going immediately to and from work, and we fit within the statute. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you. If you look at the Olson case, and the Olson case is saying that in the big picture scheme of things, that the situs of this accident fell within the parking lot exception, then I am agreeing with that in saying that one of the cases, and it may have been Olson, said that the ingress and egress to the parking area is also included in the parking lot exception. And the description in Olson of the place where the accident happened is exactly the same as the description of this case. It was a two-lane avenue of traffic, and that there were work vehicles. There may not have been parking that took place in that two-lane avenue of traffic, and there were work vehicles there. There were employees coming and going.
How is this lane different than the drive-through lane that's in the case counsel is describing at the end of her argument?
The case that she's describing is a benefits case, and I believe that the statute is not applied like two sides of the same coin.
Do the same words mean something different depending on who we're talking about, a claimant or someone seeking immunity?
Yes. The statute says, throughout the statute,
you know, the introductory sentence to the definitions in Chapter 5108 says that the definitions apply throughout the title. It doesn't say they just apply in deciding a claimant's coverage.
It talks extensively about the injured worker and it does not talk at all about immunity. There is one spot where
the definition, the introductory sentence to the definition section doesn't talk about injuries or immunity, but it says that the definitions that we're struggling with here apply throughout the title. It doesn't limit them to those provisions that extend benefits to injured workers. So I'm wondering how we get to the position where the same words can mean something different in two contexts within the same title.
Well, the definition says that as to the injured worker, he or she does not have to be doing the job for which he or she is compensated in order to get benefits under the statute. And that part does not say that for an uninjured tortfeasor who commits negligence at the workplace. So there's a presumption that...
Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you.